Just before I go into the word, 1 Chronicles chapter 14 is where we're going to read mainly. But before I go into the word, I thought to share a story with you, or to share an attempt of a joke with you. Yeah, that's the way it goes. So you laugh in advance. Thanks, Femi Yusuf. I'll take you out anywhere I go to speak. Even if it's a women's conference, I'll still take you. So I read this story of a few churches that came together. They collaborated to have a revival program. And it was mainly a Baptist church, a Methodist church, and a Pentecostal church. So they had this big revival, and they finished the revival. And the pastors decided to meet together to report to each other how they thought the revival program went. So the Methodist church pastor said, "The program went so well. We had 6 new families join our church." So, wow, everybody was rejoicing for him. But much more so, he was really happy for himself. And then the Baptist pastor said, "It went so well. We didn't get up to 6 families, but we had 4 families join our church. Another, wow, you know, we've done so well. It's worth it," and so on and so forth. So the Pentecostal church pastor said, "I can really tell you that it was worth it for me as well, because we had 10 troublesome families leave our church." But the beautiful thing is, if you caught that joke, oh, Mr. DJ. It was later into the math school. The beautiful thing is, in this church, we do not have troublesome families. So we're grateful to God. Put your hands together for yourselves for being a part of this beautiful church. We don't want any of you to go anywhere because you are not a troublesome person, and we're grateful to God for that. All right, so joke's over now. Let's get serious in the Word of God. 1 Chronicles chapter 14. If you read with me, and it should come up on the screen, it will be helpful, from verses 8 through to 17. Can I have it on the screen, please? "Now when the Philistines heard that David has been anointed king over Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for David. One man was anointed king, and all the enemies came to look for him. And David heard of it, and he went out against them." Next verse. "And then the Philistines went and made a raid of the valley of Rephaim, on the valley of Rephaim." Rephaim is the quickest accessible way to Jerusalem. So they went to the place that was like the biggest hub, the M25, the way you used to get anywhere of worth in their day, particularly to the presence of God. "And David inquired of the Lord, saying, 'Shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hands?' And the Lord said to him, 'Go up, for I will deliver them into your hands.'" The next verse. "So they went to Baal Perazim, and David defeated them there. And then David said, 'God has broken through my enemies by my hands like a breakthrough of water.'" If the Bible you own is yours, I want you to underline that phrase, because I'm going to talk a little bit more about it later. "Therefore, he called the name of the place Baal Perazim," which means the master of breakthroughs. Next verse. "And when they left their gods there, David gave a commandment, and they were burnt with fire." That is, the Philistines left their gods in that place, and David made sure that it was burnt. Can I have the next verse, please? "Then the Philistines once again made a raid on the valley." Next verse, please. "Therefore, David inquired again of the Lord, and God said to him, 'You shall not go up after them, circle around them, and come up on them in front of the mulberry tree.'" Next verse. "And it shall be that when you hear a sound of marching in the top of the mulberry tree, then you shall go out to battle, for God has gone out before you to strike the camp of the Philistines." The next verse, please. "So David did as God commanded him, and they drove back the army of the Philistines from Gibeon as far as Gaza. Then the fame of David went out into all the land, and the Lord brought the fear of him upon all the nations." Lord, once more, expand your word in our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name we've prayed. So when Pastor declared this month as our month of the 11th hour breakthrough, or 11th hour intervention, I realized that intervention and the word breakthrough could actually be could be replaced one with the other. When you have an intervention from God, it means that something has broken or something great has happened for you. God has stepped in to deliver something into your hands that you could never have done by yourself. And when you look at the scripture of the month, which is in Matthew chapter 20, this bunch of people have been waiting in the marketplace. They were not lazy people. They were in the marketplace, but there was nothing for them to do. And I was saying in the Bible school last Saturday that the way you can interpret what happened to them is they hadn't had a job all through the year. Their CVs have gone out everywhere and they didn't get anything. And the 11th hour declaration was made. And all of a sudden, they got a daily rate or a monthly rate that was equal to what everybody has earned for the year. It would sound unbelievable if you say in this field somebody has earned £40,000 for the year, and all of a sudden they say, well, you're being hired to be given maybe £1,200 a day for the next number of days till the end of the year. That is, you are now earning equal to what everybody has earned from January. In 40 days you make £40,000 instead of waiting for so long to earn the money. It's difficult for us to believe in our natural mind simply because it sounds unbelievable if you put it that way. But that was exactly what happened in that scripture. Somebody was hired in January and paid $40,000 per annum. Somebody was hired in November and paid exactly $40,000 for the rest of the year. That's exactly what that scripture says. And it is possible. But the only way to experience this possibility is to understand that our God always shows up and he can intervene in your life. So when Pastor said that we needed to wait upon the Lord later this month, I was asking myself, what should I wait on the Lord for? What could I teach anyone that ever come my way during the course of this month for them to wait on the Lord for? And the whole topic of breakthrough started coming to mind. And tonight I want to talk to you on something I've titled The Blueprint for Breakthrough, which is the intervention of God. You want the intervention of God. That's why we wait upon the Lord. That's why we fast. And the story that we read earlier was the story of a gentleman called David, and everybody knows his story. And the funny thing about this gentleman was that he has had such a rough time, and all of a sudden he found himself in a place where God has now anointed him for the third time. It wasn't the first time, it wasn't the second time, it was a third time anointing. And he was now in a place of visibility and prominence, in a place of the palace, in a place that he's been promising. 17, he was 37. At this point, he was 37 years old. He was promised that at the age of 17. 20 years waiting for one miracle. And all of a sudden, he got to this place. And what happened? Something rose up against him. And he needed God's intervention. Now, the something that rose up against him was not anything new. Was this something that had been something all through the time? In his 20 years, he's been fighting the same battle, the same set of people, one way or the other. In fact, before he got on the scene, their generations have been fighting this same set of people one way or the other. So it's like a serious stronghold in their household or in their family or within the context of where these people were from, the nation. So I just thought to explain what breakthrough means in that context, because I'll talk to you about the basics of breakthrough, the barriers to breakthrough, and then the blueprint for breakthrough, because that's actually where I'm going. But I needed to set it in place. So if you're expecting an intervention from God, you're expecting a breakthrough that is something different than what you've been experiencing before. You want to experience something outstanding. Listen very carefully to this. And if somebody around you wants to experience something outstanding, listen to this and go back and teach them. One of the best things you can do for yourself when you hear a sermon is to teach somebody else. You know why? Because you will always remember. The moment you teach somebody something, you're more likely to remember than if you kept it to yourself. So teach somebody and be a blessing to them. So I wrote here that breakthrough is an act, is an instant of moving through or beyond an obstacle. So breakthrough, when it happens for us, is an act. It's something that happens. It could be once. It could also be instant. And it could be over a period of time, but you need to break through a particular obstacle. Something is on the way. Something needs to give way so God can intervene in your matter. And that's when you need breakthrough. Also, I realize that we all face different barriers in life. You know, very rarely would you meet somebody that say, I'm so contented with where I'm at. I don't have any dream and I don't desire to go further. That's not the way we've been created. If anybody says that to you, they got problems. They really do have problems. If you say, I don't have any dream, I don't have any desire, and I'm just good. Good is good. But after a while, that good should become dissatisfaction, because you need to have something something more, something better, you need to break through to go to the next level. It's just the way God made us. So when you need a breakthrough, you are someone that wants to get to the next level of life. In many circumstances, things do stand in the way of getting to that next level of life. And those are the things we want to talk about. Those are the things you need the hand of God to intervene in and to help push out. So one of the things that I realized is that I want to say a few facts about breakthrough. The very, very first one that came to mind is that breakthrough requires a force. Breakthrough or supernatural or divine intervention requires a force. I was reading that Newton law again, which a lot of us read maybe at the beginning of our time in secondary school. I decided I wasn't going to quote it wrong. I was going to quote it exactly. It's called the Newton's first law. And it says, I'm going to read it to you. An object at rest stays at rest, and an object in motion stays in motion at the same speed, in the same direction, unless acted upon by an external force. Something stays the same way, except a force is applied to it. If it's going on in motion, it goes at that same speed, that same way, that same direction, unless a force pushes it out of place. If it's static and nothing is happening, it stays the same unless a force is applied to it. Your life will stay the same. Your situation will stay the same if a force is not applied to it. The Bible says, from the time of John the Baptist up to now, the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent takes it by force. Your destiny is for you to take by force. Stop giving excuses for the things that are happening in your life. And the problem is this, or the challenge is this. Everything will always have a physical excuse attached to them. I mean, nobody just wakes up and just die without them saying, oh, so we did an autopsy and something happened. There's got to be something. It's very unusual to say nothing just happened. It just so happens that. So when the devil wants to waylay you or hold you back when it comes to your career, it just brings one boss from hell. And they just keep giving excuses why you are not doing well, why you can't do well, why you can't progress, and so on and so forth. So there is always something that stands in the way of our divine intervention or our breakthrough. So unless a force happens, things stay the same. So one of the things you must understand about breakthrough or about divine intervention is there needs to be a force. The second thing there is that breakthrough creates momentum in our lives for a fresh and a new direction. So I really want to create a hunger for experiencing God's 11th hour intervention in you. That's why I'm sharing tonight. I want to create a hunger in you. So when this force comes, it creates a new direction, something fresh, something better, something greater. Many of us are so familiar with where we are at, and you're just static there. You're familiar with your workplace. There's nothing fresh about what you do. There's nothing fresh about. It's just same old, same old. I don't believe that that's how God has made you. Another thing that breakthrough does is private breakthrough always precedes public breakthrough. Write that down. It's very difficult to experience breakthrough in public if you have not experienced breakthrough in private. This same gentleman, if you read his story that we're talking about, David, there are many times that he, with God, had experienced great breakthroughs, great intervention, before he now became a public figure. And then his intervention became a public knowledge. Now, when he was fighting for himself and the bear alone for his father's cattle, nobody was there. Only him and the family knew anything about it. But by the time he became a public figure, every battle became a public battle. So if you will experience public victory, you need private victory first. And that will be in the place of your relationship with God. You can't wing Christianity. You can't wing it. You know, you come to church, you sing the song because the words are there. You're here long enough. You know what we do. You know the practices. You know the practices. When they were really young, my children, my son used to copy exactly what dad does. And from the time he was about four, I realized that he was, in quotes, speaking in tongues. But he will say exactly what dad says because he spends so much time with dad. So he hears dad speaking tongues, he will speak in tongues like dad speaks. He used to want to do everything that. In fact, we have a picture in the house where dad was standing in the kitchen and I think he crossed his leg in a certain way and his hand in a certain way. And Asha did exactly the same thing. So I decided to capture it. He was a really, really young kid then. So we decided to digitize it recently. But what I've realized is, so when we thought You could have said, oh, he knows how to speak in tongues. No. And he continued that way until he was 9 or 10. And one day, we actually sat him down and taught him about Christianity, about Christ, about personal salvation, and ministered to him. And from that day, he started speaking in tongues his own. There are many of us that are so used to hanging around a set of people that does all the right things, and so you wing it. So everybody assumes you know what you're doing, but you're being carried along with the crowd. Now, breakthrough or personal intervention from God in the 11th hour does not happen just by flowing along. You need more. You can flow along and get a level of blessing, but the real deal comes when you have a personal relationship with God, that your personal breakthrough or your private breakthrough then begins to show on the outside as a public breakthrough. The last thing I wanted to say there is that God is the one that creates the breakthrough. He's the one that creates the breakthrough. In fact, somebody put it this way. He said, breakthrough is like waves. If you're a surfer, you go to a place where the waves are being created. You just wait, really, literally. What do? You learn how to surf. You take your surfing board along with you. You go to the right places where the wind is going to be strong or the wave's going to be strong. And you just wait for the waves to come. And when the waves come, you ride with it on your surfing board, everything you've prepared, and it takes you to a dry ground and a higher ground and a good place. And you have a great experience. Breakthrough is from God. God is the one that creates the waves, that creates the breakthrough that we see. But it's the function of things that have happened in secret with God that everybody sees on the outside. If you remember the last scripture I read, he mentioned the fact that by the time they finished all the challenges that happened to David, by the time he finished fighting, then the Bible says, and everybody knew about him far and near. We need breakthrough in every area of our life. For some people, it's physical breakthrough you require. Your health is just one story after the other. Unless you decide to arise and get fed up with it and say, no, I'm not taking this anymore. Everything just will continue to happen like that. For some people, it is spiritual breakthrough you need. You have been at the same level in your spiritual life as you were last year and the year before. How would you know that when the same challenges face you and you react the same way, you know you're not growing? Do you understand that? When the same challenge that faced you last year faced you this year and you react exactly the same way, you haven't grown in that area. And the thing about God is, it's not like the school system in United Kingdom where you just moved forward, whether you like it or not. The thing with God is, you do the exam, you fail it, you hang on, because another way, that same question will come up. So is your spiritual life, are you breaking through in your spiritual life? You should have a desire for that. You should have a desire for breakthrough in your financial life. I used to say to my children, I say, give God a raise. Give God a raise. You've been giving £2 to God for the past 5 years. When is he going to have a raise? You're getting a raise at work. God is not getting any. Doesn't even add up. So if your finances are still tight, it's been tight from day one, it's still tight. Now it's time to believe God for a breakthrough. It's time to apply a force to it. The same amount you used to have left is what you still have left 5 years down the line. They've increased your income. Yet somehow, something still eats it, in quote something, which you and I know is not something, is you, but financial planning, bad, good, or whatever it is, still means that you're still living from hand to mouth. So you need a breakthrough in that area. You could need a breakthrough in your career. Some people have been on this level for so long. Pastor talks about a bunch of people that you are put there as an acting director or acting manager. And then you work so hard and you continue with the department and the thing is flowing so well, everything is going so well. And then hire somebody else and they replace the acting because you are an acting. You have worked so hard, you have held it for so long. And then somebody else comes and takes over your glory. And then they just continue like nothing happened. That's not how God wants it. That's not how God designed it. You need a breakthrough in your career. For some people, every time you want to go further up, something happens and then they say, well, right now we can't promote anybody. When is your turn? It used to be automatic and then you came. That tells you need an 11th hour intervention. Well, maybe also you need an 11th hour intervention in your mind. You don't have the mental capacity to think and think fast. Many of us don't believe God to touch our mind. We believe God to touch our mind so that we can think like Christians, but we don't believe God to touch our mind so we can become sharper. I don't know whether you found yourself in that place. I remember very clearly when I went to do my master's program, it was a particular class called creative thinking class. Now, if you know me very well, I'm quite, I'm a little bit methodical, and I could just, sometimes if you ask me a question today, you get the same answer in 10 years' time if you let me be. because I'm just that way. So I process it in a certain way and it has been. Now I'm open to other ideas, but I'm not naturally creative. So I went to this class and they would ask the most obvious question to everybody else. Only me, I won't get it. I just didn't get it. After they've said it, I'm thinking, why did I not get that? That is not even hard. Now the MBA class I went to, some people came to MBA by experience. So they have not even been to uni. By this time, I'd already done my uni. I've already done my professional exam. I was way beyond some in my, you know, educational qualification to be in that class. So I remember going home and saying to my mom, I have a problem with this class. I'm the only one that just can't think of an idea. And if they say, everybody would say their idea. I'm like, wow. And I say, but that's obvious. That's not creative. Do you know, a class of, we're only about 12 people. So everybody knows when you've got it wrong. And it was so, I was the only Christian as well. So I went to God. I said, God, I've had enough. I really have had enough of this average thinking. That was, I remember I took it to God. I said, I'm tired of average thinking. I wasn't an average person. But in that class, at that time, I felt like below average. And I took it to God. I said, I need you to touch my brain. I mean, yes, it did for that class. So I came out with an A in the end. But I'm still not creative. But hey, there's not been an opportunity to, you know, to go back to God on that. But it did touch my mind from God to use my mind for that. So I don't know which areas you need 11th hour intervention in, but you do need them if you identify those areas. Another one is in your family. There's some families say, well, this is how it happens in our family. I remember somebody once saying to me that when they are 50 years old in my family. What is that? Does that not mean that you're not going to pass 50 yourself? Or somebody has once said, every second girl in second generation in my family develops cervical cancer. Why would you take something like that? Yes, there are facts. But you need a breakthrough. You need 11th hour intervention so you don't be part of the statistics. Because that's not what God designed your life to be. But you can find yourself just doing exactly that if you don't kick against it in any way, shape, or form. So let me now tell you the barriers to a breakthrough so that you know whether you need one or not. If you experience any of these things I'm about to mention, you know you need a breakthrough. Because sometimes you hear the word breakthrough or intervention and you say, well, you know, I don't have a problem. Well, true. You may not have a problem, and I'm not saying you have a problem. I'm just saying if you spot any of these things, then you know you do need a breakthrough. So you need to really listen carefully to the blueprint I'm going to give you shortly. The very first thing is resistance. Resistance. If you face resistance. In the scripture I read earlier in 1 Samuel, let's first of all read 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 1 to 4. Let's read 1 Samuel 17, 1 to 4, please. It says, now the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle and were gathered at Socor, which belonged to Judah. And they encamped between Socor and Azekah in Ephraim Danim. Next verse. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and they encamped in the valley of Elah. And they drew up in the battle array against the Philistines. Third verse. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on one side and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, with a valley between them. If those of you that are coming to Israel, they're going to take us to that particular place where that battle happened. And a champion went out from amongst the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. Basically, these Philistines were a serious thorn in the flesh of the Israelites. They were constantly standing in their way. They were constantly making sure that the Israelites don't go further. They were constantly resisting them. Turn your Bibles as well to the book of Joshua chapter 9, verses 1 to 2. Joshua 9, 1 to 2. Let's have that scripture on the screen as well. Joshua 9, 1 to 2. It says, and it came to pass when the kings who were on this side of Jordan in the hills and in the lowland and in all the coast of the great sea towards Lebanon, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, when they heard about the Israelites, that they gathered together to fight with Joshua and the Israel with one accord. There are things or people or systems that gather together to fight you and resist you. If you experience resistance in your career, in moving forward, resistance. In your memory, you're always forgetting resistance. In your marriage, you can never push forward. If the moment you're making friends with one another, something will happen and just make you go further apart beyond where you were before. Resistance. You need an 11th hour intervention. You need a miracle. You need a breakthrough. If you're constantly experiencing resistance in your finances, one minute you're above overdraft, the next minute you're below overdraft, the next minute something happens. The moment you have a little bit of savings, something happens to one car and one this and one that. And I remember I used to say to people, there are things to do when that happens. When we were a short while ago now, we're living in Thamesmead, our kids were younger. And our fridge, okay, the fridge had every right to break down because the fridge was given as a gift. It had no door. A fridge that had no attached door is going to break down because this is the system the fridge works. So the fridge, we have to carry the door and literally put it back there. That was why we were given for free. We found it from a scrap shop. We went to buy second-hand sofa and we saw the fridge on one side and the guy said, you can have it. The same way he said you can have a baby pushchair. So you can imagine the kind of pushchair that we push the baby in as well. So we got it home somehow with me carrying the door and the husband carrying the fridge. So it came in two parts. So when we put it back on, it stays there and it cools as much as it could. When we want to use anything in it, we bring it down. Now, if that fridge breaks down, it has every right to break down. So that fridge broke down first time. We prayed. It went back working. It broke down second time. I remember very, very clearly. The first thing was the lady that was living with me, my au-pair, said, Bola, I pay my tithe, so it's not me. And I said, thank you. Because let's at least tick some things off and know that it's not because I'm not stealing from God. I'm not hiding tithe. I'm not this. I'm okay. Now I know this is a problem. It's a battle. I can give excuses for it. It had every reason to break down. But I didn't want it to break down because I didn't have the money at that time, or we didn't have the money to do anything with it. And the milk will keep going bad if we don't have a fridge. So we must have a fridge. What is resisting you? And what excuses are you giving to this resistance? Resistance is there to make sure you don't break through. So if you experience resistance, you've got a problem. The next one, if you experience rejection or refusal, continuous rejection, continuous refusal, continuous no's, is not from God, particularly if you're where God wants you to be. And I'll show you that in the blueprint in a minute. If you experience continuous rejection or refusal, it is not from God. Now, let's read very quickly a scripture in Exodus chapter 7, verses 1 to 5. Let's have the scripture come up, please. Exodus 7, 1 to 5. Can I have it up? So the Lord said to Moses, see, I have made you a God unto Pharaoh, and Aaron, your brother, shall be your prophet. You shall speak all that I command you, and Aaron, your brother, shall tell Pharaoh to send the children of Israel out of his land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh will not heed you, so that I may lay my hand on Egypt and bring my enemies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgment. So at this point, God was sending Pharaoh out to Moses out to go and do a job. He said, but Pharaoh is going to reject you. But as time progressed, if you read that same scripture, if chapter 7, verse 1, chapter 8, verse 1, chapter 9, verse 1, chapter 10, verse 1, every time Moses kept going, God said, Moses, go back and go and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. But Pharaoh was still resisting and Pharaoh was refusing. If you are where you are meant to be and there's continuous refusal, you need to find out, God, what exactly is going on here? You can't afford to forget about it because there is something in that same place where you're being refused that God has in stock for you. I remember a brother, a friend of ours, who was a qualified accountant. He was in our old church. He had done all the professional exams you could do at that point in time, not just here, but in his own country of Africa, in Africa as well. And then he would constantly apply for it, and he was constantly rejected. It got so bad. If I remember clearly, he gave the testimony, he applied over 200 times. It was way beyond that. And he kept the rejection letter to remind himself. Today, moving further on, today is a consultant in that same field. He's done so well, not just for himself, for the people that he has now employed for labor and for all the people around him. Continuous refusal until one day he made up his mind. I'm praying about this thing. I'm not giving up. For some people, when you get refused, refused, rejected, rejected a few times, I said, well, maybe that's not what God has for me. You just change path. You just change position. Just change location. When you get resistance a few times, you just say, well, maybe it's not God. Let me tell you, as it shows in the book of Exodus, that it was God. And God allowed that resistance and God allowed that refusal or rejection to come. The next one there, if you're experiencing reluctance, which is fear, You don't want to do because you think what something might happen. You just won't move forward. You don't want to push forward. You don't want to move forward. You are constantly, if I try it, it's not going to work. I want to do this business. Oh, it might not work. I want to do this. It might not work. Reluctance in your own spirit about what you want to do. Fear. Fear paralyzes. Ask yourself, is it God that is saying not to do? Or is it me that is just afraid? Because every time you are afraid, you can never push through anything. You need to move to the next phase of life. But fear, oh, if I move further in this relationship, if I date this girl and it goes wrong, that means that I won't be settled in church. Oh, that means I have to leave my church. I don't want to leave my church. I like my church. She likes the church. Oh, no, thank you. Then you don't make a move. If you, maybe you have a job and you say, I want to apply. If I apply, maybe I'm not going to get it. And then it become funny in the old team that I've applied to go higher. And you know what? You don't do it and somebody else does it. Every time you are reluctant to push forward, ask yourself the question, do I have a problem and do I need a breakthrough in this area? Reluctance is a sign that there might be a challenge. Just these things that I mentioned, check them in the different areas of your life I've mentioned earlier. Do I have this problem or do I have that problem? The next one there is redirection. Redirection. Every time you lose focus, every time you lose focus and you try and start all over again, it doesn't matter what you're doing, you just lose focus. You are constantly looking for new directions and new things. Maybe, just maybe, you do need a form of breakthrough and intervention from God to be able to focus and get to the end of a matter. So I don't know which of these applies to you. The next one I wrote there is when you have a problem and being restless. There's some people that got a very restless spirit. I know of somebody, every time they stay in a place, it won't be long before they up it and go again and carry the whole family. And then they're in the other place. They sow their time, they sow their effort, they sow everything. Before reaping time, they up it again and they shift. And every time you do that, you are replanting and starting all over again. You got an issue and you really need to solve it with God. You have a barrier that is standing in the way of your harvest because there is no seed that you sow that will not take enough time that will generate. If it's not enough time, it's not time. It will not produce fruit. And if it doesn't produce fruit, you can't harvest anything. So if you pack your family, up it and go to another area, another place, another career path, another business field, you start all over again. I know a particular person, at least they've started all over again over 5-6 times. No fruit from any. The next time you see them, they'll say, is this one I'm doing now? Come back again in another year. Oh, is that one I'm doing now? While I was doing it, I saw this. And then I started doing this. And while I was doing this, I saw that. And then they have all these seeds everywhere that somebody else is getting the benefit from. Because when you plant a seed, it's a matter of time that seed will generate and become fruit for other people to benefit from. If you're there, you become that one that benefits from the fruit. If you're not there, then it becomes somebody else's harvest because harvest must come. Harvest must come. I shared with you a story here before when we had an estate agency firm. And we took over at some point, we were partners in this firm. And there's another one of the partners and he said, oh, it's taking too long for this business to work out. And because of that, he decided to walk out of the business. He walked out of the business and he passed his clients on to us. And at least two or three of those clients gave us in each of the years that we ran that business, those three clients from this same guy, he's the one that did the original work, that found the clients. We just serviced the clients the rest of the time. They gave us more than 5-figure income in that business line for the 3 or 4 years that we ran that business before we went into ministry full-time and stopped running the business. We didn't do the work originally. It did the work, but it was too restless. And then what he went into, he left that. By the time I saw him on the high street, went, hey, how are you doing? He has left that to go to something else. And probably he has done all the hard work and created fruits for another person on the way. He needs a breakthrough. He needs divine intervention. The last one there is repetitive pattern. How do you know that you need breakthrough? If you have a repetitive pattern in your life, you need the intervention of God. You can identify that actually this happens to people in my family or this happens at this age or this happens. If it is repetitive, it is not of God. Stop giving excuses to it. Every repetitive pattern you have to look closely at and see how you can fight it and how God can help you put his force behind you and break through those things that are stopping you. Some people say, well, in our family, people are never rich. And they believe it. And when you're trying to be rich, something must happen to somebody and something must happen and just create chaos. In my family, people are always fighting. I know people that say, my family, people don't get married. So you get married and all of a sudden you start fighting. Repetitive pattern. If you are not careful with repetitive pattern, you will make sure that you lose all that God has put in your domain or sphere to gain. The Philistines were a repetitive pattern in the life of the Israelites. But that was not enough for David not to do anything. What I'm saying with these things, you have no control over some of them, but it's just to show you that you need to fight a battle in an area. When you know something, you have to fight in that area. When you have something that is pursuing you or plaguing you, that you don't even know that it's plaguing you. Now you know it's plaguing you. It's time for you to arise and do something about it. So six things I mentioned there, have a listen again, resistance. If you're experiencing resistance, you need God's hand. If you're experiencing rejection, you need God's hand. If it's reluctance, that is, creates fear in you, Psalm chapter 146, verses 4 to 6, you need God's hand. If you're experiencing redirection, every time lack of focus, every single time, Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 3, you do need the help of God. If it is repetitive pattern in different areas of your life, you need the hand of God. And if it's restlessness, you do need the hand of God. Now, let me tell you the blueprint I was able to work out from this little thing that we read about David. The Bible made us understand a few things about David, and I was able to write six things that I felt that I saw in the scripture that he did. And it's interesting that he didn't do it only once, he did it twice. And I realized, looking back at another one of his battles in the past, he has done it before. So when somebody does something in scripture, the Bible says that it's written for our own examples. So that means that that's a blueprint. Just go copy it. You should get the exact same result. The first thing I noticed there in verse 8 of that scripture we read, let's have that scripture back up, 1 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 8. It says, now when the Philistines heard that David has been anointed king over Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for David. And David heard of it, and then he went out against them. The very first thing is that you yourself, you have a conviction that you have a battle in your hands. If you don't have a conviction that you have a battle to fight, you will never fight. David did not go running away. He did not say, do you know what? I fought these people so long, and I'm at this point, and I'm tired. So surely they're not coming. God has anointed me king. This is the third time. Third time perfect. 37, what else do I need? And run away and go and hide and say, well, God is with me. He will sort me out somehow. No. He did not say God will sort me out somehow. He went out. He had a conviction that there's a need to do something here. If you know that you are experiencing any of the things I mentioned earlier, I need you to get convinced in your heart that you need to do something. You need to accept and acknowledge the fact that there is a challenge here. If you don't accept the fact that there is a challenge, you will never fight against that challenge. If you don't accept the fact that there is a challenge, you will never fight against the challenge. When we were courting, when we were dating, P and I, we were in a church where our pastor or bishop used to say, he doesn't fight with his wife. I don't fight with my wife. Why would I fight with her? How would I love somebody to then start fighting with them? That's what we were taught. So all of a sudden, my understanding of marriage as a Christian, my parents were married. In my opinion, they had a good enough marriage, but I was not in it. And my mom had a very strong personality. So I know that every so often she just shows my dad. I know it. I mean, my mom shows my dad by shutting down. And my dad can't deal with malice. So my mom would just shut down. And my poor old dad would not start walking on eggshell around her. And I remember I used to tell myself, I would never do this to my husband, no matter what happens. Nice woman. But my mom didn't get seriously saved until she was 60. So all my growing up, I saw her display. I mean, not fighting, not talking, not any of all those funny things. She just goes, you know, and that's it. And all the children walking on eggshell and thinking, that's mom. Oh, you don't want to go there. Everybody just runs away. So I didn't want that, but I didn't know better. And I didn't know how to do anything differently. Then I went to the church. And while I got born again, I go into a church. And while I was in church, a pastor said, I don't fight my wife. I have no reason to fight my wife. I didn't marry somebody I love to be fighting her. All right. So that's the way it goes in Christianity. Guess what? 27 years down the line, 26 plus, we don't fight. Because that's what I understood. I acknowledged that there was a problem where with the model I had, as good as it looked. And the model I had was a good one. And my parents had a good marriage. But it wasn't the best. So I found myself in a place where I experienced the best, or I was told the best, I saw the best, so I decided to live the best based on what I was taught. If you don't acknowledge or the fact or accept the fact that you have a challenge, you will never fight it. So even though I could have said, yeah, it's all good and hunky-dory in my parents' home, I could choose to stay there. But I hang on a minute. I've seen something that can be better. So I decided to accept the fact that this is not great, as good as it looked. I want something better than that. Question, are you really wanting something better in that area, whatever the area is? If you don't accept that there is a problem coming and face it, you will never experience better. That's the first thing. He had a conviction. The second one there is confrontation. He confronted it. The Bible says, and then he went out against it. You're coming for me. I'm coming for you. Many of us bury our head in the sand when there is a challenge. You don't want to fight. But there's no breakthrough. No major intervention happens if you don't fight on your knees, if you don't fight somewhere, if you don't fight for what is yours. In fact, sometimes not only on your knees you fight. You fight on your knees, you stand up, you go and fight as well. You fight for things that belong to you. You fight for accommodation. You fight for your children. You fight for your love, for the love of your life. You fight for your career. You've got to fight. This whole, I don't want confrontation anywhere. I'm at peace with the world. It's good. You know, I usually say to people, I say, my name is Peace in the Middle East. I love peace. I really love peace. But you have to be real enough to confront some challenges that come your way. Confrontation, which is advancing towards. Enough of running away from. If you want genuine breakthrough, you've got to advance towards some things. That's what David did in that same scripture. In fact, if you look at the next battle he fought and the next battle, the same principle he used in all of those battles. He advanced. He confronted the matter. Are you going to confront the matter? The first one is to accept that there's a problem. The second one is to advance towards the problem. So which is conviction, then confrontation. The next one, which is the third thing, there is a confirmation, which is asking God. Confirmation. He went to God. After he determined that I'm going to fight this thing, then he went back to God to ask for the method he needs to use. Let's look at verse 10 of that scripture, please. It says, and David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines? Would you deliver them into my hands? And the Lord said, go up, for I will deliver them. Let's have verse 14 of that same scripture. Therefore, David inquired of the Lord, and God said to him, you shall not go up. Every time, he's having a confirmation time from God. God said in one, do it. In the other one, he said, don't do it that way. Do it, but do it a different way. If you really want to experience genuine breakthrough, genuine 11th hour intervention in your life, you need to learn to confirm things with God as you walk along. You don't confirm things with God, you will carry out yesterday's instruction today and it will be a total failure. Can you imagine if you say, well, I know what I need to do, so all I need to do is just go back to the instruction God gave me yesterday and I would use that one and that's what we'll do. No, if he did that, he would have lost the second battle. A continuous confirmation from God. What is God really saying about this matter? How does God want me to do it? Which I called asking God. The first one, accept there's a challenge. The second one, advance, don't retreat. The third one, ask. Ask for the method from God. What is the method? How do you want us to face this challenge, O Lord? God wants to give you breakthrough, but you need to go on your knees and go and get that private breakthrough concerning the matter. What is the strategy, O Lord? What is the strategy? Because God always has a strategy. In fact, if you look at those two battles in that same scripture, one was, you're going to do it this way. You're going to go ahead. You're going to go behind them and you're going to capture them. Another one said, no, you're going to go around them and you're going to capture them. The same set of people, same set of challenge, same problem. It's same maybe workplace problem, marriage problem, children problem. The same problem, two different strategies. Because God did not want him to solve today's problem with yesterday's solution. Morning by morning, he wakens my heart as one that is being taught. What's God teaching you? What's God teaching you about your destiny? If you really want genuine breakthrough in this month, in this 11th hour, we're going to fast soon. What are you going to ask God? Which area do you want God to intervene in? The next one after that is compliance. Complying to what God says. Verses 11a and verse 16. Let's have verse 11a. Every time God spoke to David, David did it. I've preached this one. I think last time I talked about it, it says, so they went to Baal Perazim and David defeated them there. Then David said, God has broken through my enemies by my hand. God still needs your hand to break through these enemies. God is not going to do all the work for you and you sit at home. You can't run away and expect God to do the work for you. It will give you breakthrough. The force is behind your hand, but he needs your hand. This gentleman went ahead and he complied with what God wanted him to do. If God gives you a piece of instruction and you don't comply, he has no reason, no basis for giving you another one. You didn't obey yesterday's instruction. Why should he give you another one today? He complied. He complied. Which is he obeyed. Which means he acted based on what God has said. If you look at verse 16 as well, God gave him an instruction. This is how I want you to face this challenge. And he did it. If you are looking for breakthrough, if you're looking for 11th hour intervention in your life, then you need to give attention to these things because God still works. And God is interested in working for you. But you've got to acknowledge that there's a problem. You've got to go and ask him about it. You need to act on the things he says to you. Then the next one there is his confession. If you look at that verse 11, it says, God has broken through for me. What are you going to say when God does it for you? I know people that say to me, do you know what? I don't like giving testimonies in public. When you were looking for God, you asked. When he has done it, I don't like talking in public. This guy said something. He said, well, God has broken through for us. And he called the place, he named the place something called Masters of Breakthrough. God has broken through my enemies by my hand like a breakthrough of water. When water breaks through something, you can't stop it. And it says, therefore, he called the name of the place Baal-perazim, which is the Masters of Breakthrough, the place of the breakthrough of the Lord. What is your confession? What would your confession be when God has done it? It's just a little thing. It's not a big thing. That's why I didn't give the testimony. Is it? But when it was disturbing you, it was not a small thing. What's your confession? And very, very lastly there, the continuation that then they had, verse 12. Verse 12 made us understand something that happened, that the Philistines left behind them, they left some idols. In the past, some other leaders would take those idols and start and keep them aside. And before you know it, the Israelites' heart will turn towards those idols and they will start worshiping them. Bible said, and David burnt every single one of them. It helped the people have a continuation or a heart that continued to serve the Lord. My ladies, my gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, my brothers, my sister, when God answers this question, when God gives you this breakthrough, when God does his 11th hour intervention, would you really continue to serve the Lord? God realized that if some of us get this blessing that we're looking up to him for, he will never see us in church again. If God does it, what would the continuation of your heart towards him be? Five things that I want you to go back and read that scripture again. I knew I rushed through it, but I want you to go back and read that scripture again. When you have a challenge, the conviction, is there really a challenge here? So make sure you get that clearly. It might not even be a challenge. So if it's not a challenge, then, you know, put that out and then face something that is more important. We're going to be fasting shortly. What area of your life do you need a breakthrough in? Read through all the six things I said earlier. Say the one that is relevant to you. And if it's not relevant, leave it. It's conviction, which is accepting that there's a challenge here. Sometimes if you don't look closely at a matter, you don't even know there's a challenge. It's very easy to overlook a challenge. It's so easy. If you have little children, if you're not careful, your child start lying. If you're not giving attention to, you won't know. And it's so subtle, it just gets bigger with time. If your child's language changes because they're hanging around somebody at home, it's so subtle. And if you don't give attention to, you will never know. All of a sudden, someone that is speaking a word of faith is speaking something different. Somebody, you know, and all of a sudden they're living double lives under your roof just because you haven't given attention to it, a conviction. If David did not believe that he had a problem, the Philistines would have come and taken the place from him despite the fact that God blessed them, despite the fact that he's been anointed three times for the same challenge. Conviction. The next one, confrontation, like I said, which means charge towards it, advance. First one is accept. The second one is advance. Never run away from any challenge. Never bury your head in the sand and act like it doesn't exist. Because it does exist. It can only get worse. When you leave the devil, it only gets worse. You know, P has shared the story of his tooth. He said he once saw a little black dot in one tooth. He said, and he left it. He said, looked at it, thought, I didn't brush this teeth well when he was a young kid. He said, he then left it and it just got worse. And before they knew it, he lost that tooth because they couldn't rescue it anymore. So if you let something stay on, it might do too much for you to be able to rescue it. So make sure you advance. Don't act like it's not there. The third one there is confrontation. Oh, sorry. The third one there is confirmation, which is asking God, how do you want us to go about this, oh God? What do you want me to do about this matter? And the fourth one there is compliance. When God speaks to you, you got to do it, which is acting on the word that God speaks. The fifth one I discovered, there's a confession, your acknowledgement of God's help in the matter. It's not you that is so smart. There are many people that say, well, yeah, I just got it. I was good enough anyway. Were you? Why did you bother praying about it? If you think you were good enough, why did you bother praying? David could have said, well, I've got experience and I'm good enough. In fact, I have power. I have ability now. I could do what I feel like doing. But he didn't do that. He acknowledged God has helped me to break through. When you acknowledge God, it just does bigger and better things in your life. And the very last one here is this continuation. It continued to serve the Lord, which is abolishing the things that could take him away from the Lord.